The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's marvelous, monumental, most fascinating, massively mind-bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds in one accord to draw closer to the King of Kings and glorify his name. First, in the Christian journey, there are times when God brings completeness to a project, a venture, a trial in lickety-split time. Then there are the other times where the process moves along piece by piece, slowly but surely. We do not always appreciate that God demands time and effort from us in his contouring work of art, but it is the case. Next, look into it. Look into it. That expression provokes people to examine or search out a matter. God calls this an honor in Proverbs 25:2. Sometimes researching an issue, a topic, or a subject creates an avenue of blessing that the Lord wants us to have by discovering. Let us see this stuff as a divine journey that is not just a drag in the process of life when the Lord wants you to learn. And finally, there always comes the point where God says, that's enough. Leave my people alone. If I hear one more word out of your mouth, why, I'm gonna... That's our dad. Do you get the picture? He is our protective dad.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oive, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. Or you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770, where Terrific T answers the phone, and that's terrific, and that's all you got to know. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line, it could be for prayer requests. It could be for praise reports. It can be for something you want to share the Lord's working on in your life. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you want to answer a Bible trivia question. A Bible trivia question? What's a Bible trivia question? All right, well, here's a Bible trivia question. How did God first appear to Moses? That's a Bible trivia question. Now, you can answer that by calling us at 972-445-0770, or you can text us, 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, or you can just think on it really hard, and maybe we'll catch that. Probably not. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter if you call up and you have exactly everything perfect to say or not. We don't care. Every topic and any topic's open for conversation, primarily because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And most of the time, it's a couple of tin cans with a bunch of strings. Here's the reality. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, we have our trivia question. Somebody called in. Who is it? What's in here? Oh, perfect. Okay. Because Deborah will have a good answer, so that's good. And then I bet she can get me the trivia question. I bet I can get that out of her. Let's see. Here we go. Go ahead. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing a lot better now that I'm not hearing zzzz. I mean, that is so irritating. All this time, all the things we do, it's like, get a filter for that thing, will you please? You know? Okay, help us out with the calendar, and then I bet you can do the trivia question too, but let's start with the calendar. What you got on the calendar?
Okay. I was going to say that I was told that the Jewish calendar was a solar calendar, and that we no longer use a solar calendar, we use a lunar calendar, and that when all the prophecies were done for the Christians, they were done by days and weeks, and whenever a prophecy was made about Satan, it was in months.
Wow, and I had not heard that last part right there. But I like that idea. I don't have anything in me that's going, oh, no. That seems like it's kind of a cool way to look at it. I do know that when we're talking about Sunday, it does say the Lord rose on the first day of the week, so we're getting for the days of the week. But in the calendar part, that's something interesting. I've not really heard that. I'll have to look into it. But I love that you brought that to the table. People need to think about that. That's a great perspective. I love it. All right. You still got to answer the trivia. You can do this trivia question.
I was just going to say, you know, Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday, so you went from Wednesday evening until Thursday, and then from Thursday to Friday, and Friday to Saturday, and then supposedly on Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, and then there's argument there because most people believe he was crucified on a Friday, and then that's why it came Sunday, and then they were all parts of the day except for Saturday. Friday was a part day, Saturday a full day, Sunday a part day. So I've heard multiple arguments. So I'm gonna let that one stand.
The Jews actually went from sundown to the next day. That's how they did their days or whatever.
Yeah, it was sundown to sundown is usually how they did that. That's how I was raised.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, okay. Now, how did Moses first have an encounter with God? What was that symbol? What was that sign that God first got his attention with?
The burning bush?
That is correct! I knew you'd get it! I knew it! Good job, Deborah. I appreciate it.
All right, you too. Have a good afternoon.
All right, thank you. God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. See, people are like, well, no, that's not perfect, or no, that's different. It's like, relax. That's got nothing to do with fellowship. You know, whether you meet at 6 or 6:30 or 7 p.m. on Saturday night or Sunday morning, that's not what to do with fellowship. Do you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again? Do you believe that God can write a book? Do you believe? Okay. That's what has to do with fellowship. All right, here we go. We did that. Let me do this real quickly. Our time is a little tight, so I just want to point this out. This is Ezra 5. I just want to point out verse 16. It says, the people have been working on it ever since, though it is not yet completed. Remember, if you remember last week, we're talking about the children of Israel. In Ezra, in chapter 5, 1 through 24, in chapter 5, it's a go back, look backwards kind of thing, and now it's going forward again, so it's easy to get confused on the time. I don't want you to be too confused, but I want you to catch these critical points. In verse 16, it says, the people have been working on this ever since, though it is not yet completed. He was talking about something that's 18 years in the process. Have you ever noticed this about your Christianity? Ready? Some things that you do in God are just boom, lights out. Lord, I really need the wisdom here. Boom. It's like instant. It's like a microwave. And you know it's true. I mean, it happens at certain points and in certain ways. The Lord just makes it so clear. You're just like going, wowzer, bowser, right? Okay. Then there's other things that you're working on in the Lord
that take the appearance of a snail. And it's like, Lord, could you go any slower?
Now, if you're going to be dishonest, you'll go, oh, it doesn't bother me. Oh, yeah, it does. It bothers her. Even King David said, hurry up, God. It's like everybody goes through this. That's not a weird thing. It's just that the things that the Lord does, his timing is perfect. Our timing is awful. Our timex has never been right once. God's timex, quote unquote, since he created time, is perfect. And so God's timing on this issue in your life that might appear to be dragging on is not dragging on by accident because God's bored or he just wants to stretch it out. it takes the time that God determines it takes because that has purpose behind it. What happens is it's hard to be patient. Remember those fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, isn't that a tough one? I don't have any patience. I'm not a doctor. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God's process, even if it takes a long time, that's what God is requiring. If you look at certain passages like Exodus 23:29, God even says, I'm going to do this step by step or in stages, because if he did it all at once, this would be a disaster for you. It's important for you and I to understand God's timing is perfect, and we need to surrender to his timing. We've talked about this before. Great illustration, Martha and Mary, who both said to Jesus, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Your timing is bad. That's what they were saying. They weren't trying to say, we don't believe in you. They were saying, if you'd have been here, this would have been different. But remember, the timing of the Lord is perfect. And if Jesus had been there earlier, the mass miracle and witness for Lazarus would not have been the same. So that's an important point for us to start to understand. God has perfect reason for timings that take much longer than you and I desire. I'm thinking, no, Lord, but it's hard. Yep. That's my nice Christian response. Sure is. There's times where it's like, wow, could you move any slower? I've said that to the Lord. Of course I repented afterwards. What I'm trying to tell you is that some processes that the Lord brings us through have greater complexity than we want to acknowledge, and God brings it along piece by piece. Last thing I want to say is this. Some people have had really, really tough struggles with sin, and they want instant deliverance. 20 years into a process, it might require the Lord bringing them out piece by piece, not all at once. That's up to God. All right, folks, you are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. On God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple. Because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you into life so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. We're having fun. I'm having fun. I know it's money, but it's fun. All right, there we go. We already did the Moses one, okay? All right, this should be not that difficult. I'm going to say up ahead of time, most of you will get this. What two sinful cities were destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven? What two sinful cities were destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven? You can call us at 972-445-0770 or text us at 214-210-8483. Again, if you guys want to give, so we have a couple people that give by sending it to the station, like they give by writing to the station, and then they just put attention David Spoon. That's a way that you can give. And then also you can give online through hemustincrease.org, which, by the way, we haven't done that yet. So let's do a prop on the website title. I couldn't even think of the name. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so that's the website. You can go to the website, and then I don't know, T, if you have the address for the station. Do you know what the – can you track that down for me just on the whatever that station address is, and then we'll give that out because I forget. I know it's like 3201 something somewhere. So we'll get that to you in just a little bit. Anyway, what two sinful cities were destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven? That's the question. Here we go. Our little humorous quip of the day. I did think this was a pretty good one. So I'm going to tell you that right ahead. It's a very short joke, but kind of cute. A 4-year-old boy was asked to give the meal blessing before dinner. That's pretty good. A 4-year-old boy. Wow. The family members bowed their heads in expectation. He began his prayer thanking God for all his friends, naming them one by one. Very good. And he thanked God for mommy and daddy and brother and sister and grandma and grandpa and all his aunts and uncles. Very, very good. Then he began to thank God for the food. He gave thanks for the turkey, the dressing, the fruit salad, the cranberry sauce, the pies, the cakes, even the Cool Whip. And then he paused, and everybody waited and waited. And after a long silence, the young fellow looked up at his mother and said, "If I thank God for the broccoli, won't he know I'm lying?" Come on. Won't he know I'm lying? Thank you for the bro. Thank you for the – okay. It's cute, right? All right. All right, somebody is calling in or has called in for possibly just to say they don't like me or to answer the trivia question. Could be either one of those. And then we're going to get to them. And then also, again, you can always go, by the way, the radio station, 770 KAAM, has their contact information as well on the station. I just can't think of it off the top of my head because my brain is floated with books that I've been reading. That's all I'm going to say, floated. All right, here we go. We're going to have somebody answer the trivia question. So lean in this way. Yes, no, yep, okay. And then do you want to grab me that address when you get a chance? Okay, good. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David.
Hi, Mary. How are you? I know your voice.
It's been a while. It's been over weeks, I think, since I've... But I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing good today, so I thank the Lord for that.
Praise the Lord. That's good news. Yeah. That you're doing good. All right, now I'm going to assume you know what two sinful cities were destroyed by fire and brimstone from heaven.
Sodom.
And
Gomorrah.
That is correct, Amundo. Sodom and Gomorrah. Or
the angels had to take them by the head and lead them out of the city, you know. Like that's Lot and his two daughters and wife.
Yep.
They were going to leave. They weren't going to leave at first, but...
Yep.
I mean, it's really something.
It's amazing. If you think about it, you're standing there and there's this big tidal wave about to squish you and you're like, should we leave or should we stay? It's just like, get out of there.
My wife really wanted to stay. You know, she looked back.
Yep.
And the angel said, don't look back. Fly. Go to the mountains.
Right.
And then she looked back, and that's why she turned into a pillar of salt.
That's right. That's why right now she seasons McDonald's French fries. That's exactly it.
Well, maybe I should be able to listen all this week, I think.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Going this week.
I'm glad to hear that, Mary. And we're praying for you on a regular basis, and we just always hope you're doing great.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
You got it.
Okay.
All right. God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Such a sweetie. All right. You have that address, so I'm gonna have T give it fire off the address for the station. So if they send something to the station, what do? They send it to KAAM 770, or what do they do?
Yes, you can do KAAM 770. And then if you'd like the address, you can definitely call up in the station and we'll give it to you.
What's the number they call for the station? Because that's different, right, to the station? Like that's the 445-1771. That's it. Okay. So you can do that. You can go online. I'm just trying to help you. Or you can text me and I can get you the information for those. Because we do get people that send letters. And then usually it just has the station information, the address, and it says, attention, David Spoon. And they pretty much know that's David's. That doesn't take a lot. All right, let me get to this next section real quickly because our time is tight. And this is I'm going to go from this to another major, major, major thing, which is really fantastic in the next segment. But I want to point this out in Ezra chapter 6, verse 1. It says, so King Darius issued orders that a search be made in Babylon, in the Babylonian archives where treasures were stored, but it ended up being at the fortress at Ecbatana in the province of Media, there the scroll was found. But what I want to just point out real quickly is this is going to be really hard for some of you to hear, but I need you to listen. It's really important for your maturity. I don't care if you're 150 or if you're 15 for Christian maturity. This is really important. So King Darius issued orders that a search be made. Can I tell you right now, if you've ever read Proverbs, you know in Proverbs that it talks about the honor for a king to search out a matter. That's a very important portion for us to understand. Proverbs 25:2 says it's the honor for or glory for a king to search out a matter. There is something in the process of searching and looking for things that the Lord uses in our lives to solidify certain truths and certain understandings. In your life, there's no doubt been times where you've thought about prayer, you've thought about Bible, you've thought about certain different faiths, you thought about different elements or how faith operates, you all these different thoughts, and the Lord has placed that inside of you so that you will search. Because searching out a matter in the kingdom of God is a good thing, not a bad thing. God doesn't just give everybody an answer on the spot so that there's no effort connected. I want to kind of dispel that notion. I've been in the Word for 43 years. I've read the New Testament probably 160 times. Old Testament, probably about 45 at this point. I've studied the languages, studied all that stuff. And I'm saying all that to say this. The more you pursue, the deeper you find out that it goes. The more you pursue the Lord, the deeper you find out he is, the more profound you find out that he is. I want to share a dream with you. You guys will all be, oh, here's another one of Dave's dreams. Just hang in there. So when I was a younger boy, first initially in the faith, I had read the entire New Testament. I kind of did a speed read, but you know, just to be able to say I read it, okay? And that's when I had that dream about being in a fishing boat. Now, just for those that don't know, I don't fish. So I fished, but I'm not a big fish guy. So I was in a boat, and there was a fishing rod there, and at the end of the fishing rod wasn't a worm, was something alive, and I'm looking at it, and then the next thing I knew in the dream, I'm at the surface level of the water looking at this thing, and this thing was like 1/4 of an inch below the water, just like super superficial. And the Lord was trying to teach me, because I said, there, I read your book. I don't need to – I understand it. I get it. In the next second, I was plunged hundreds of feet down underneath the water. And in the dream, my head was like – the pressure was crushing my skull. And all I can remember the Lord saying is, but this is how deep it goes. I was like – you see, what happened is I read the word and I thought, I understand it all. I get it. I read it. Nobody has to tell me. It's like I read Shakespeare once. I get it all. And the Lord was like, you are a 1/4 inch surface Christian right now. And then he takes me down hundreds of feet. And it's like, this is how deep it goes. And it was so deep. It was like, oh, my goodness, my head is exploding. Well, that's one of the great things about God. The more you search, the more you research, the more you look after, the more you pursue, the more you seek to find, the deeper you're going to find out God is. And my encouragement to you, my encouragement to you is to pursue God with every inch of your fiber, as deep as you can possibly go, as most profound as you can go, because you will find out that the pursuit of the journey is a blessing. And you know why the Lord allows that? You know why he tells kings it's a glory to search him out? Because the more you find out about God, the greater you understand all of life, because you understand the creator of life. And so I want to just take this admonition moment to tell you, if God puts you on a search, jump in, enjoy it, and allow him to teach you and show you the wonders of him and his kingdom. Okay? All right. All right, get off my little soapbox now, and then we'll get back to the text in the next segment. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
First and foremost, we want to review our most important element of the day, and that is our DNA. Why is DNA important? Because a Christian should know what they're made of no matter what they're going through. Can I say this again as I've said it before? Let me do it real quick. Ready? More news is coming. I know it sounds prophetic, doesn't it? More even different news today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the next week, and the next month, and the next year, and the next decade. That's good. So in lieu of that, we have to have a certain way, and we need to be. Our DNA, Christian DNA, has three elements. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Number two, never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the Lord and his words. And A, always be ready to
serve.
There you go. So it's three simple things. DNA. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for the next trivia question. This one a little harder, but I am confident in you guys. You have the capacity. You can do this. What mountain did the Lord descend upon in fire? Fire. What mountain did the Lord descend upon in fire? The name of the mountain. The only hint I'll give you initially is there is a very famous hospital that has a similar name. See if you can figure that out, and don't send me Mayo because that's the wrong answer. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the number to call, or you can text in 214-210-8483. You can do that either way. And then the last thing I will tell you, I will give you this hint. I thought the not Mayo was a pretty funny line. That mountain, by the way, you can find that answer in Exodus 19, if you want to double check that. Exodus 19. Okay. All right. That's that. We do have history. You doing good? T, you doing good? You had a nice weekend, huh? I mean, I'm glad for you, okay? I had a recovery weekend. That's all I could think of. All right, ready for history? Here we go.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, so I'm going to do history. Got somebody calling in on the trivia, but I want to do history real fast. It is Flag Day. I am one of those people that thinks the flag is fantastic. I don't care if they think the Betsy Ross story is true or not true. I could care less. I think we have a great country. I love our country. It's so much better than all the other countries, but it's not heaven, and it's not the kingdom of God. So just make sure you make that distinction. Today is also a monkey around day. I don't know what that is, although I think that's something that our show does every day. It is, watch this, it is International Bath Day. I'm just going to say that, you know, I like baths, that's good. It is National Pop Goes the Weasel Day. Yeah. That's National Pop Goes the Weasel. By the way, I did that in a foreign language. And then it's National Strawberry Shortcake Day. So I like that. I'm good for that. Strawberry. You like strawberry shortcake? I like strawberry shortcake.
You know, it's okay.
It's okay. That's better than, like, you know, meatloaf. Well, no, maybe not. It depends on the sauce. It depends on whether there's barbecue with it or not. The other thing, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you, and then we'll move on. 1948 on this day. What happened to Channel 1? You ever notice on televisions, for those of us who have been watching television back before there was color, there was never a Channel 1. The FCC removed Channel 1 from television broadcasting. Channel 1's frequency range of 44 to 50 megahertz was then allotted to land and mobile services instead of renumbering the remaining channels. It was simply removed. There were originally 19 channels allocated in 1938, but channels 14 through 19 had already been removed, so we don't have a Channel 1. It's like, really? Maybe somebody should have thought, hey, Channel 1, that's a good channel. Okay, somebody can answer the trivia question. Do we have somebody doing that? Let me lean over. Here I go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my brother?
I'm doing pretty good, considering I'm a blessed man most of the day, not in the mornings too much, but otherwise I'm in good shape.
Yeah, all right. Well, we pray for you. We love you. We just think you're fantastic, so you remember that. And don't just remember, there's a bunch of people that think extremely highly of you, and we're praying for you, especially in the specific needs that you need. Okay?
That was awesome. That's awesome words. I appreciate that.
You got it, my friend. All right, here you go. Yeah. Kind of a classic. What mountain did the Lord descend upon in fire?
You're looking for Mount Sinai?
That is correct! You are right! Mount Sinai is the correct answer. That's a good one, because there's a couple of mountains that people would think, well, is it this? Is it this? It's like, nope. Back to the Ten Commandments, Exodus 19:18, the Lord descended in fire. That's another way you can know God's like, I got something to say, and you're going to listen. And everybody's going, okay.
Yeah, amen. Hey, can I say something about the, you know, which enter you were talking about? I had always believed that it was Samuel, actually. I know most preachers say, no, it was a demon. But, you know, I find out from another preacher, man, that, yeah, he said, yeah, Josephus says he was Samuel. It wasn't a demon. And the only reason you can make a determination of that is that because what he told Saul, you know, he said, now the king has been torn from you and given to your neighbor. So the devil would never told Saul that, would he? I mean, he would have said, you know, a demon. He would say, no, hey, you're doing good. God's happy with you and so forth. So on. I mean, what are your take on that?
Yeah, you got to say that again. I lost you a little bit about halfway through. So do me a favor, try and say that with a little bit of a summary, and then I'll do my best to answer you.
Yeah, basically, was it Samuel that came up from the grave that Saul called on the witch bender?
So you're talking about the resurrection of Jesus?
Yeah, because most people think it was a demon. It wasn't Samuel who was called up from the dead.
Oh, so are you asking whether he actually died or not? That's what I'm having just a hard time understanding, eh? So is he asking that?
That's fine. It was just a matter of when the witch finder called up Samuel from the dead.
Oh, from that, Samuel from the dead, okay.
People say that it wasn't Samuel, it was a demon.
No, that's wrong. So it's not, and this is one of the things that people need to recognize. First of all, Jesus was not the first person to raise from the dead, and people should recognize that. That's just a fact. There were other people that were raised in the Old Testament. Well, when Samuel came up, there was nothing. That was God saying to the witch at Endor, surprise! You know, just like, and she was probably like, what? This is like the real deal. Because there's no way they had that capacity. Only God had the capacity to raise the dead. And God allowed that to take place really just to nail down Saul. And the only reason it even happened through the witch Endor to Saul was because Saul was the first king of Israel. If he had been maybe a later king, it might not have been the same level of priority. But when Samuel came up, that was all God bringing up Samuel, regardless of the person doing the witchcraft.
Amen.
There you go.
You just struck a chord there. I've seen now why the witch of Endor was surprised, because she was expecting a demon, but it was Samuel himself that came up.
Yep. Yep. I think her brain went, this is not my normal familiar spirit. We're in trouble. That's right.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad we're all in line with Josephus and the Lord. So that's good. I guess why the Lord says, "Do not do necromancy." Don't be. You could call up the dead if you found a familiar spirit, but you don't have supposed to. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yes, you stay away from that.
Door you can't shut.
Right. God rules in that realm, and anybody stepping into that realm is going to get exactly what they deserve, which ain't going to be good. That's all I can say.
Amen. Well, bless you and T. We appreciate your smartness and the wisdom, and bless you through the Holy Spirit, and give you good health and wealth in Jesus' blood and name.
Amen. Amen, my brother. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Good job. I love Ace. Ace is a great guy. Yeah, no, when he came up here, she was like, whoa! Whoa! All right. I'll probably belabor this point on purpose, so... Please understand, when you're teaching a narrative, like we're teaching Ezra and we're teaching Matthew, that versus teaching Colossians or 1 Thessalonians, when we're teaching Acts, any book that has the story component to it, the historical and the story surrounding it, you have to kind of talk about the story and you kind of bounce more in and out, because you don't want to say, you know, he got up and he walked and then he sat down and then he ate a grape. You know, that's not what I'm really teaching, okay? So the idea behind this is for me to pull out of there what I think is beneficial for us to use, and that's one of the things that we do. And I'm going to start this point and then finish it probably in the next segment. This is coming out of that portion we just talked about in Ezra chapter 6, and this is after King Darius did the search to find out whether that it was in Seoul that Israel was supposed to be supported in their rebuilding of the temple and the rebuilding of the city. And remember, they were being challenged, just like you and I are challenged on a regular basis for our Christian walk, from Satan, from the world, and even from our own flesh, which doesn't like conforming to anything. And so in this portion, King Darius writes, but once he found the scroll, he writes back to the governor of the province of the Euphrates River, and this is what he says, and we're going to really harp on this in the next segment. He says, stay away from there. Do not disrupt or disturb the construction of the temple of God. So I just want you to take a breath and recognize the Lord allows challenges in our lives, and they conform us into the image of Christ. They test us, and they challenge us, and they have their moments. And there's several moments we go through that process. We look up to God, and we go, why? And he looks back at us and says, why not? You know, it's like that kind of thing. But there always comes a point in the things that God is doing with his kids where God goes, that's enough. And while you think you're going through a trial that will last forever and a day, you're wrong. There is coming a point where God will say, okay, that's enough. We're done. You think, well, why can't that be instantaneous? I don't know. I'm not God. But I know that the Lord allows things for us to take place in our lives, and we go through it, and we get more conformed to the image of Christ. But there comes a point where God says, okay, we're done. Done. Now, there's going to come a point like that in society and life on this planet where God goes, all right, we're done. Program is over. People are going to go, well, it can't be that way. It's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. Nobody's going to tell God what to do. God will go, ding, it's enough. Bell, here we go. We're done. And I want you to be encouraged that whatever you're going through, whatever the obstruction or challenge or disturbance or inconvenience, it will not last forever because God loves his kids. Take a break and come back, and we'll get back into that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi. It doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, master. Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey. Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley, At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it's kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for the last trivia question. I'm going to tell you right now. It's a toughie. It's not that tough, but it's a toughie. What judge of Israel was visited by an angel whose staff, referring to the angel's staff, caused meat and bread to be consumed by fire? I don't know if you figured that out, but the trivia questions today were all about fire. What judge of Israel was visited by an angel? So he's a judge in Israel, visited by an angel, whose staff caused meat and bread to be consumed by fire. Okay, there you go. If you think you know the answer, it's a judge in Israel. Okay, so it's a judge in Israel. So your odds of you finding this in Judges are pretty good. Okay, is that a good way to say that? All right. Is that just a pizza order? Is that okay? Nothing. All right. Let's see. We're gonna do our fancy word. Fancy word. This will be a Hebrew word. So go ahead and do the Hebrew for it.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava, nagila, ve'nisrecha.
All right, there's our Hebrew word. Get ready. This is a great, great, great word. Great, great, great text. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The word we're looking for is anointed, and that's the Hebrew word mashach. Mashach, 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 mashach. Either way, mashach, mashach, that happened. To anoint, to rub with oil, to especially in order to consecrate someone or something, appearing about 70 times in the Old Testament, having a lot to do with priests, a lot to do with the Levites, a lot to do with the high priest, but it also has to do with Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, anointed. So in Hebrew, Messiah is in the Greek, it's Christ, but in the Hebrew, it's Messiah. It's anointed or anointed one, because the Lord has anointed me to preach, to anoint, to rub with oil, especially in order to consecrate someone or something. That is for the purpose of service. That's the Hebrew word for today. Okay, our trivia question, you know, I keep banging my head into the microphone. That concerns me only because I can only do it so many times before I fall over. The question was, what judge of Israel was visited by an angel whose staff caused meat and bread to be consumed by fire? So it's the angel, his staff, he touched the meat, he touched the bread, it was consumed by fire, and the answer, of course, is going to be in Judges. I think somebody's calling in to answer, hopefully. All the rest of you on the docket are doing a great job getting it done on the text side of things. We've got somebody calling in, we'll see if they can answer, and if not, we'll give the answer at the end of the show. So I'm going to lean over and see. Are they going to answer trivia? Nope. Okay. All right. Let me get into this last portion just real quickly. I just want to make sure everybody knows it. So the reason I bring this portion up in Ezra chapter 6, it's very important for people to understand. Okay? The Lord allows trials in your life. Now, people that say, oh, well, if you're living in the perfect will of God, there would be no trials. Well, then the only response to that is, did Jesus live in the perfect will of the Father? The answer is yes. What was the result of that perfect will of God, perfect plan? He was crucified. So, okay, so that's ridiculous. The second thing is the disciples walked with Jesus, right? And they're with Jesus, and Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They all get in the boat, right? They're with Jesus, doing what Jesus said. Jesus says, we're going to the other side. What came up? A storm. So do storms come into the life of Christians? Of course they do. These guys couldn't be any more perfectly in the will of God. It would be impossible to be any more in the perfect will of God. But there's this point where you and I need to understand that at points of the storm, even when the storm looks like you're in the middle of the storm and it doesn't look like it's going to end for hours and hours and days and weeks and months and years, there's this thing that happens where the Lord goes, that's enough. And you're allowed to petition God, because David did on about 50 occasions, for God to do that. And here in Ezra chapter 6, and in this particular verse, in verse 6 and 7, actually it's verse 6 and 7, it says, stay away from there, do not disturb the construction of the temple of the Lord. There's this point where God says, that's enough. And when Jesus was in the boat and the storm was coming, what did he do? He got up and he rebuked the waves and the wind. He told the wind to be quiet, the waves to be still. Why? Because the wind makes noise and the waves rock the boat. And he said, that's enough. Because there comes a point where God says, that's enough. Okay? I mean, that's it. We're done. And while you're waiting for that to take place, a big portion of our attitude, our Christ-likeness, is to be patient as we go through the process, to be keep our eyes focused on the Lord, to not allow the circumstance, the situations, to so affect our feelings that we operate in fear as opposed to faith, or that we lose the character of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside us is molding us on the inside as our circumstances are molding us on the outside, so that our shine in life is that of Jesus. And I'm not at any point in this conversation telling you this is an easy, simplistic thing. No, it's not. But it's always accomplished by God. God doesn't come up short. He doesn't leave you hanging. I remember somebody talking to me about, you know, them thinking that sometimes they feel like they're on a tree limb and there's nobody there and they're just hanging on the tree limb. That's how they feel about things that are going on. But that's not the truth, is it? Which is why we don't use feelings as our absolute guide. We use the truth. And the truth of the matter is Jesus made a commitment to never abandon you, to never leave you. Matthew 1, he's with us. Matthew 28, he's with us, beginning and the end of the gospel. We know he's with us by Deuteronomy 31:6 and Hebrews 13:5. He's promised he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's by our side and he's helping us get through. That part's fantastic. We just forget. Or we're so focused. Time for honesty. We're so focused on our circumstance that we block any joy that faith can give us, and we block the Holy Spirit from working in us, effectively producing the character of Christ. We do it. And then we operate in doubt and fear and immobilization. I was like, yeah, all right, well. Here's what you got to remember. For the second coming of Jesus Christ, for your trial, for your frustrations, for all the things that you've gone through, number one, there's a point where it's over. That's it. Number two, what God allows, he allows for a purpose or a reason. Nothing is happening by accident. And I'm deep in these studies, these PhD studies, and you've got multiple authors going, if the church doesn't do this, it's over. If this doesn't happen, it's over. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. What you're telling me is that, according to that author, the church fails and Jesus was wrong? That's not happening. You want the church to do better and get on the shtick and get things correct. But if it doesn't happen, God's going to get his way one way or another. And if you go to church, one thing you know it's about church, church is messy. Why is it messy? Because it's filled with people. Right? I mean, that's a messy situation, right? But it's a mess. But get this, it's God's mess. Where was Jesus in the book of Revelation? In the middle of the seven churches. He wasn't on some other planet. He was in the middle of the candlesticks. Like, well, the church is this, and the church. Remember that great line? Oh, I don't want to go to church. There's so many hypocrites. Well, what's one more? Come on in. Here's the bottom line to that. The Lord knows what he's doing. He's got it covered. There has to be a confidence in that, and a confidence that it will come to an end, and the trial will come to an end, and a confidence that God is working what God wants to work on, and then God's not up there freaking out. We're freaking out. We need to take a deep breath and relax and trust that God knows what he's doing. He didn't forget you. He knows you better than you will ever know yourself. I just love that command from Darius. Stay away from there. Do not disturb the construction of the temple of God. That's going to happen for you. You got charismatic. That's, you know, Pentecostally. That's what, no, it's not. It's just believing God will bring it to an end because God is faithful. That's what that is. I was like, okay. What we need is the strength to not just endure, but to follow what the Lord's trying to teach us. All right? All right. I know I got trivia, right? We got to do trivia? Okay. See if I don't double check. What judge in Israel was visited by an angel whose staff caused meat and bread to be consumed by fire? That would be Gideon. That would be in Judges chapter 6, verse 21. Judges chapter 6, verse 21. I want to give a quick word out, and then we'll close it up. You'll notice then this week and next week, I will take more liberties as we're teaching on the scripture because I want to be more sensitive to the Lord, just like you want to be more sensitive to the Lord. I completely support people that do line by line. I completely support people that do topical. We do both. Okay? I have no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But if I sense the Lord going in a direction, that's the direction we're going, best as I understand. Because when I stand before God, it's not you guys I have to answer to. It's him. And I want to do it right. And who doesn't want to hear well done? All right? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.